Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Yevamos Daf Nun. Don't forget to click on the daf option in order to view a marked daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you are not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief 4-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the marked Daf Gemara before the shiur. If you wish to be in touch with us, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur begins at the beginning of the new perek, the fifth perek of Yevamos, Perek Rabbon Gamliel. This perek is actually a rather short perek, but in the world of learning, it's known as a challenging perek. There is a lot of detail packed into the few words that constitute this perek. After giving a great deal of thought of how to approach the limud, this particular study, it's my feeling that we will benefit extensively by learning a considerable amount of Rashi along with the Gemara text. You can see that we open up today's shiur with a Mishnah that is rather long. In other words, it will take us to the end of the narrow lines on Amud Beis, and many of the points mentioned in the Mishnah, as you can well imagine, will be elaborated upon by the Gemara. But at the same time, Rashi adds a significant amount of information, as you can see just by judging the length of the Rashi commentary that accompanies the Mishnah. So with that having been said, we want to note on the side of the Gemara the nosei, the topic heading, Haim yesh mokoim l'chalois dovor sheni achresh kvar chal dovor rishon. In the case of treating a yevoma, there are two approaches that are d'oraisa and two approaches that are d'rabbonan. D'oraisa, you have the surviving brother with regard to his sister-in-law can either marry her, that's through Yibum, or we can say bia, intimacy, or he can choose to release her from the Yibum bond and free her to marry anyone else she would like. And that is accomplished through Chalitza. So on a Torah level, those are the two options. On a rabbinic level, there exist two more phenomena. They are two more phenomena, and they include get and mimer. Get is a divorce document. That is not the Torah way of releasing a yevama. As we mentioned before, chalitza is the necessary method, and that is through her removing a shoe from the brother-in-law's foot, in addition to other things that have to be done as part of the ceremony. And there's also another way of bonding that exists only on a rabbinic level, and that's mimer. Mimer is offering her money. These are topics that we've discussed at great length in the past. As you look at the structure of the Mishnah, you notice we've double underlined the names Rabbi Gamliel and Chachamim. They have a disagreement regarding some of the details. And triangles will be used to show the Seder Hadvorim B'Yavam Echad V'Yavama Achas, the order of possible events that can take place between a Yavama, a surviving a widow, and a brother-in-law, surviving brother of the deceased. Now we turn to the Mishnah. Rabbi Gamliel Omer, Ein get achar get, velo maimer achar maimer, that once a get is given to a yevama, if a second brother gives a get to her, it will have no significance. Or if there are two yavamos, there are two widows, and the yavam, the surviving brother, gives a get to the first widow and the second widow, the get given to the second widow will be of no consequence. And hence, he will be allowed to marry her relatives, and she's not considered his grusha, again on a rabbinic level. He's not considered having had done anything with her. Likewise, ein maimer achar maimer, that once maimer is done with the yavama, if a second yavam tries to give her money, it will have no consequence. By the way, when maimer is done, when money is given to a yavama, in order to undo that, if they choose not to go through with consummating that particular marriage, not only is chalitza necessary, but a get is also necessary. A third point, velo be'ila achar be'ila, once the act of intimacy is done with the yavama, there will be no bonding if the yavam tries to bond with a second of the surviving widows, second of the of his brother's widows. And likewise, velo chalitza achar chalitza, when chalitza is done with one of the widows, if the surviving brother tries to do chalitza with a second widow, that will have no halachic consequence. It won't have any outcome. V'chachomim oimrim yesh get achar get yesh maimer achar maimer. The chachomim disagree on the first two points made by Rav Gamliel, that a second get could have ramifications. It does have an effect. And likewise, the second maimer has an effect. Avolo achar bi'ila, velo achar chalitza klum. If a yavam does bia with the yavama, then that makes her his full-fledged wife, so that any other of the acts done with her at that point will have no consequence. Obviously, if he gives her a get afterwards, so that will divorce her, but if he does chalitza with her, or another brother gives her money, it won't have any significance. Likewise, there's nothing that takes place after chalitza, once a woman is released through the shoe removal ceremony, then it doesn't, there'll be no effect if you happen to then give her a get, or you give her money. She is no longer bound to you. And having relations with her also would be quite forbidden. We just read and translated the Mishnah basically, but Rashi fills in a good amount of detail. So let's take a look at Rashi from the beginning. Rav Gamliel Omer, Seder Mishnah Zu. First of all, he does a wonderful service for us. He lays out the order of the Mishnah, that the Mishnah has a specific structure to it. Shalotita l'shabish hagirsa shebisforim, so that one shouldn't ruin the text of the books. Seder yavam echot v'yavama achas. Tchila meforesh. First thing to note is what happens between one yavam and one yavama. Tchila meforesh din get v'chalitza obia shachar maimer. The Mishnah will spell out in the upcoming section where the triangles appear of what happens when things are done after maimer. That's what you see in the first triangle in the Mishnah text. V'acharkach meforesh din maimer ubiyo v'chalitza shachar haget. And then you can see the second triangle. The Mishnah will feature what happens if you do one of the other activities after the Yavam gives her a get. The Acharkach din Maimer v'get v'bia Shachar ha-chalitza. And as you can see, the third triangle, where chalitza is the first thing done, what is the outcome of the other activities done after chalitza was the first thing to have been done? The Acharkach din Maimer v'get v'chalitza Shachar ha-bia. Any of the other three activities done after bia. V'chein seder yavam echod ishtei avamas. This will appear also on Amud Beis when one yavam is dealing with two widows of his deceased brother. This Rashi, though, I must say, is coming to explain the structure of the Mishnah from where the triangles appear onwards. We haven't learned that in the Mishnah text yet, so Rashi goes on now to explain the beginning of the Mishnah text. We continue in the Rashi. Ein get achar get. Shtei yevomas le'odom echad me'ach echad. Imagine Reuven and Shimon are two brothers. Reuven dies, leaving two wives, two widows. And Reuven also has a surviving brother, Shimon. V'nosan get lezu v'get lezu. And Shimon gives a divorce document to Lady 1 and to Lady 2. Again, a divorce document is not the Torah way of releasing a Yavama, but it has rabbinic power. Eino osur v'krovos shniyah. The fact that he gave a get to the second woman has no halachic outcome or ramifications. Nothing takes effect. Nothing is affected by that. And as a result, Shimon could marry, let us say, for example, the second woman's sister. De'i kamo ahani, if the first get is viewed as effective, ha poka ziko de travaya, that would undo the bond of both of the women. V'have kimagarish nochris. And the second get, in other words, the get given to the second woman is as if you're divorcing some unrelated woman. Meaningless. The ikamo lo ahani limitri, if the first get given has no power in pushing them off, basra nami lo ahani. The get given to the second woman likewise didn't have any effect. V'hilkach lav grushosohi. Therefore, when you focus in on the second woman who received the get, she's not considered his grusha. Just to review, if the get is viewed as something effective, so from the first get, all bonds were broken. If the get's ineffective, then all bonds remain. So that as far as the second woman to receive a get, she's not considered his divorcee. V'chein shnei yivmin liyavoma achas. The same holds true if Reuven died leaving one widow, just one wife, and there are two brothers, Shimon and Levi, survive Reuven. V'nosan zeget v'zeget, and Shimon gives a get to Reuven's widow, and Levi gives her a get. Ha'achron eino klum. Levi's get is of no consequence. Umutur b'kroveseh, the time of capricious, and Levi will be mutter to marry that widow's sisters. She's not considered his divorcee. We're using the term divorcee and get, but bear in mind all the time we're dealing with yevomis, we're dealing with widows who survived their husbands that died without children, and hence when we speak about the get as being effective, it means it's effective to break the bond, but not on a Torah level. But as far as we are concerned, we're looking at things, was it effective or not? And when we say the get was not effective, that means that the man and the man who had given that ineffective get is able to marry her sister, for example, or her mother. She's not considered his divorcee. Needless to say, if the get is effective, so the woman is then considered grushoso on a rabbinic level. One is not allowed to marry the sister or the mother or very close relatives of the woman that one divorced. But if the get is ineffective, she's not considered someone that he divorced. Velo, we continue with the Rashi, velo maimer achar maimer. A second maimer doesn't take effect after a first maimer was done. Bein yavam echol l'shtei yavamos, whether it be a case of just Shimon survives, but Reuven left two wives, bein shnei yivmin yivam achas, or Reuven died leaving one wife, a widow, and there are two brothers, Shimon and Levi. Ha'achron ein klum lufsol es harishoyna olav. So let us just go through an example. Imagine Reuven dies leaving Shimon and Levi. Shimon gave money to the widow. This kind of kiddushin, the rabbon rabbinic marriage. If Levi gives her money as well, it's of no meaning. It won't prevent Shimon from consummating the marriage with that widow. Levi's giving of money to her doesn't interfere. V'eino tzricha heimenu get. And Levi's money given to her doesn't necessitate eventually a get to be prepared to break what he did, to break that bond, because there was no bond. V'lo le'osir b'krovas hashniya. And likewise, the second maimer does not result in any of the relatives being forbidden. V'lo b'ilo achar b'ilo. Bo al zu v'chozar ubo hu o achiv al tsarasa. There are, in this case, we'll speak about Reuven dying, leaving two widows. Shimon has relations with one of the widows. That, in effect, is a full-fledged Yibum. And then Shimon has relations with the other widow, or Levi has relations with the other widow. Biasnus bi'amahu, it's simply considered an act of immorality, a simple fling, the ain osir b'krovosel. It doesn't create an isra prohibition between, let us say, Levi and that second wife's sisters. Yesh get achar get. Here, this Dibur HaMaso is relevant to the Shita of the Chachomim in the Mishnah, that a second get can take effect, can have an effect. Why is that? De kamo lo docha legamri. This is in contrast to the way we presented Rabbi Gamliel. According to the Chachomim, they seem to be clear on this point, that the first get does not completely push the Yevomus out of the picture. There still remains a partial bond. Hilkoch akati ika palgazika. There still remains half a bond. Deha bayo chalitza. The fact that there's a bond or a remnant of the bond, that will necessitate the shoe removal. Hilkoch ahani basra. Therefore, the second get has something upon which to take effect. V'havya grushaso, the osir b'krovesel. And she becomes like his divorcee. And he will then be osir, to forbidden to her relatives. We now turn back to the Mishnah text. The Mishnah is going to begin at this point with the word ketzad. Ketzad, generally speaking, illustrates that which preceded. However, Rashi, before we even read the Gemara, we look at Rashi, where we just left off. Ketzad, lav aplukta koi. Rashi is telling us that the ketzad word, which usually means how is something to be illustrated, how is something to be understood, usually comes on the to elucidate something that immediately preceded it. Not so over here, and that's what Rashi means here when he says lav apluto koi. This ketzad is not coming to elucidate the machlokes Rav Gamliel and Chachamim that immediately preceded it. Elamilsabap ba'anpe nafsho hi. It's rather a separate point. Va'ayavom echad va'yavoma achas koi, and it's addressing a case of one surviving brother and a single widow that remains. Because up till now, if you noticed, as we learned through the Rashis, and you can see the diamonds that we had above, we were dealing with cases involving two surviving brothers and one widow, or one surviving brother and two widows. Here, we're going to be dealing with one Yavam and one Yavama. Reuven died, leaving Shimon, his brother, and a Reuven leaves a widow. V'hochi ko'amar, and thusly one is to understand the Mishnah, ketzad din yavam v'yavama. What is the procedure? It's, one might find this ironic that we're asking that at this late point in the Masechta, so be it. V'hochi meforesh b'gemor, the Gemara will explain thusly. So now we turn to the Mishnah text, Ketzad. Once again, we have a Yavam and a Yavama. Also, Maimer Biavimto. A Yavam gave her money. V'nosan lo get. And after giving her money, he gives her a divorce document. Does that release her to the Shuk? No. Tzricha heimenu chalitza. She still requires chalitza. Rashi says, "Tzricha imenu chalitza ve'im rotzo lichnos lo yichnos." The given the hischil begerushin. Actually, let us correct ourselves. This Rashi will have benefit for us later on. So let's retract that. We turn back to the Mishnah. So we said so far, if Shimon gave the Yavoma, the widow, money, and he then gave her a divorce document, that doesn't break the bond. He still needs to do chalitza. We can elaborate on that a bit. By his giving her money, even though in general when a man meets a woman that he's not related to and gives her money in marriage, that concretizes a marriage, that it establishes a marital bond, and a get would be enough. Not so here. We're dealing with the giving of money to a sister-in-law that is bound through Yibum, and in order to break that, you need to do chalitza, the shoe removal. Also, maimer v'chalitza. If a yavam gave, if Shimon gave the widow money, and they did the shoe removal, tzricha heimenu get. The shoe removal is not enough to undo the bond formed by his having given her money. In order to undo that bond, a get is necessary, a divorce document. Asa maimer uboal. If a brother-in-law, if Shimon gave the widow money and then followed that up with intimacy, hare zu kimitzvasa. That is, in effect, the way to do things. In other words, the money is a step in the direction of marrying her, and the intimacy is the consummation of that. So that's the way, that's the fulfillment of the mitzvah of Yibum. So bearing in mind Rashi's introduction, we just featured as the first step Maimer done. What happens when one of the other things follows it? So we saw what happens when a get follows maimer. What else is necessary? What happens when chalitza follows the maimer? What else is necessary? What happens when bia follows the maimer? So we went through the three other things following maimer. And now we do the same action, the same analysis, but the starting point is Nosan get. We're at Roman numeral number 2 in the Mishnah. Nosan get. V'osa maimer. Yavam Shimon presented to the widow a divorce document. Now, we can't emphasize this enough. On a Torah level, that doesn't break the Yibum bond. But it's a distancing of her on a rabbinic level. And after he did that, he gives her money. Tzricha get v'chalitza. The get that's required here is to undo the mimer that he did prior to this. And the chalitza is necessary to break the yibum bond. The get doesn't break a yibum bond. Only the shoe removal breaks the yibum bond. And on the other hand, it's important to note that the chalitza does not undo the mimer. That, for that you need the get. And we mentioned that earlier. Again, a starting point, not san get. Uboal. A Yavam Shimon gives the widow a divorce document and then has intimacy with her. Tzricha get v'chalitza. The get is needed to undo the partial bond that was formed through the intimacy. Now the intimacy here is ineffective in terms of actually marrying her in the Yibum context, because he started off by giving her a get. He started by chipping away at the bond. See, once you weaken the bond through having given the get at the outset, that's it. You can't now marry her as a Yavama. So the bia that he did, the intimacy that he did, doesn't really complete a Yibum marriage. So as the Mishnah says, a get is necessary to undo whatever partial bonding had been accomplished through the bia. And still, on a Torah level, the Yibum bond exists, and therefore you need the chalitza as well. Nosan get the chalatz. If Shimon gave her a divorce document and then participate in a shoe removal, ein achar chalitza klum. There is nothing else that needs to be done, nor that will even take effect, because the get, as we said before, was the beginning of a distancing of her. There was no bonding. There was a distancing of her, and the chalitza, we'll say, can finish off the job. That's total release of the Avoma. Let's glance at the Rashi that we see on the first of the widest lines under the Tosfos commentary. Ein l'achar chalitza klum. V'yafagav the chalitza psulahi. Even though it was a weakened chalitza. What does that mean, a weakened chalitza? The way to establish whether we're going to call something a full-fledged chalitza or a weakened chalitza is as follows. Diavi boy levumi lo motzi. Had he wanted to marry her at that point, at what point? He had already given her a get, as you can see in Roman numeral number 2, Gimel. He first gave her a get. At that point, he couldn't have married her. So the chalitza that he does is not a chalitza that's of full power, we'll say. Nevertheless, vafilu hachi dachi legamri vein achra klum. It does the full job, and there's nothing that follows it. The ihadar umekadish law. If that yavam should now give her money, that's b'maimer or b'biyah, if he were to give her money or have intimacy with her after the chalitza was done, lo bo inon get uchder b'kiva. This is, of course, we have to emphasize, this is in the spirit of Rabbi Akiva, but that by saying that you don't need even a get, the Omar Ein Kedushin Toifsin V'chayve Lavin. What is a Yavama after Chalitza is done? Their relationship is a negative command. In other words, they cannot marry one another to the tune of a Lav in the Torah. And according to Rabbi Akiva, as we learned in our previous shiur, marriages that would be in violation of a negative command do not take hold. And since nothing takes hold, there is no need for a divorce document. The Gemara will point this out, that this section of the Mishnah is in accordance with Rabbi Akiva. Just to repeat that point, when once an effective chalitza is done, any attempt of the yavam to rebond with her will be of no effect. We continue in the Mishnah, Roman numeral number 3, cholatz. First move that the yavam does is to release her in the total, complete way through the shoe removal ceremony, and then, but whatever follows will basically have no significance. V'yosa maimer, or nasan get, or ubal. Nothing will be necessary. Nothing bonds if he, after chalitza, gives her money. It's not going to form any even rabbinic bond to necessitate a get. Or if he gives her a get afterwards, the get's meaningless. If he has intimacy with her, as we pointed out before, according to Rabbi Kiva, nothing takes a hold because you're dealing with a relationship forbidden by a negative command. Loisase, and there's no tefisas kiddushin, there's no bonding when one is attempting to bond with a woman in violation of a negative command. The fourth point, oy boal, a yavam bonds with the widow through intimacy. That is essentially a full-fledged marriage. V'osa maimer, or nosan get, or v'cholatz. The Mishnah doesn't comment on this. It just mentions that after Bia, he may have done one of these things. The next phrase of the Mishnah, Rashi points this out, goes back to the Reisha. Ein achar chalitza klum. And you can see let us look at the Rashi. Now we're looking at Rashi, 6 lines from the end of the Rashi commentary. Oy boal v'yosa maimer, oy nosan get, achar bia. He first did bia and then did maimer, or he first did bia and then gave her a get after the bia. Oy cholatz achar bia, ein achar bia klum zikatz yivmin. There's no yibum connection after he marries her. Once a man marries the Avoma, she becomes his full-fledged wife. The get shenosan achar bia megarish lo kishto gemura. The get that he gives after he had intimacy with her, and the Mishnah didn't spell this out, but Rashi does, the get that one gives after a yavam married the Avoma is in effect a regular divorce of wife from husband. V'lo baya chalitza, and there's no need for shoe removal. V'imrotza lahachzir machzira, and if he should want to remarry her, assuming he's not a kohen, he's able to remarry her, unlike a man who releases a yavama through chalitza. He cannot remarry her. V'chalitza shosar achar bia, the chalitza that he would do with the widow that he had intimacy with as the first stage, the shoe removal is of no meaning. The shoe removal only breaks a yibum connection, but there's no longer any yibum connection. That yibum connection was transformed into husband-wife relationship because of the original first stage bia. Umaymer da'achar bia, the money given after bia, lo havitzorach lemisni de pshita landalo mahani. That's obvious. You married her and then you give her money. It's obvious it doesn't have any effect. The lamai lahani. What effect should it have? Afilu maimer achar maimer biyavam echad vivom achad achas basro kiman de lesi domi. Even a maimer done after maimer with one yavam and yavama, the second amount of money that he gives her is of no consequence. The my kovid on mitzar v'koy v'krivisel. What difference does it make? He's already, after having done maimer or bio with her, he's already also to all of her relatives. And Rashi goes on to say, but because of Mishnah structure, so this point was added. But there's nothing novel about maimer done after bio. Now the next Rashi highlights the point that we made the last line of the Mishnah so far that we've read on this Omid, said Ein Achar Chalitza Klum, Aresha Koi Ukidapricious. It's going back on that which appeared before, and as we already explained, Precious Liel, the Alishna de Seifa, the Kotoni, Oiboal, the Osumaimur, Onosan Get, Becholatz, Aveshech, Limis, Ein Achar Bioklum. Following Roman numeral number 4 in the Mishnah, where the first stage was Biyah, and then one of the other actions followed it, the Mishnah could have said Einachar Biyah Klum, but the Gemara will raise that particular point. Let's continue now in the Mishnah. We turn to Omid Beis. The laws that we said so far apply equally. Achas, Yavama, Achas, Liyavam, Echad. They apply in the case of one Yavam and one Yavama. As we illustrated, Shimon was a surviving brother, and his dealings with the singular wife that Reuven left, the widow. The Achas, and likewise, Shtei Yavamos, Liyavam, Echad. If Reuven died leaving two wives and one surviving brother. Ketzad. And now the Mishnah goes through examples involving the two widows and the single surviving brother Shimon. The house markings are featured on the side under the Mivneh. Seder, Dvorim, Biyavim, Echad, Ushnei, Yavamas. So that the structure of the Mishnah here, these house markings will parallel, in a sense, the triangles that we had on Omid Aleph. So that if we try to just compare this, and this is a lot of fun for Gemara marking enthusiasts, you hold one page next to the other, if you have that option, to look at triangle 1 on Omid Aleph. And the starting point was Mimer, and here house number 1 is again starting point Mimer. Triangle number 2 was starting point was Get, and here house number 2 the starting point is Get. 3 is Chalitza, and likewise with the house, the triangle and the house both number 3 was Chalitza the starting point, and 4 the Biyah. The only difference now is that we're dealing with two widows, and the one Yavam. Ketzad. Also, Maimer Bazu, Umaimer Bazu. If Shimon gives money to widow number 1 and widow number 2 of Reuven, what's the result? Srichos Shnei Gitin V'chalitza. Two divorce documents will be necessary, because Chalitza does not undo the type of bond that Mimer caused. Only a get will be able to do that. So two divorce documents and Chalitza. The Chalitza is needed to break the Torah level Yibum bond that still exists. Rashi is just, you know, it's needless to say amazing. He doesn't need my words of compliment, but one cannot help himself at times from simply breaking out in enthusiasm of how exact and how precise Rashi is in his incredible commentary. Notice Rashi on the fourth line from the top, Tzrichos Shnei Gitin Kirabonon. Right away he points out that this section of the Mishnah is not like Rabban Gamliel, but rather like the Rabbonan, the Yesh Maimer Achar Maimer. The fact that the Mishnah is saying you need two Gittin, that acknowledges that the two Maimers, particularly the second Maimer, took effect. V'yavumi lo. There's no option of doing Yibum. Dehechi Levit. How could he do Yibum at this point? E Livumi Litrabayu. If one would suggest that the Shimon should marry both widows after he gave money to both of them, he can't do that. Havulu Shnei Botim. that is based on the Gzeiros HaKosuv in the Torah, we learn from the Pasuk, we learn that a man is able to rebuild one bias. The bias is the house. The wife is the house. One wife, yes, but you can't take two of the brother's widows. So that's called the Isser Shnei Batim. So that's not an option for him to do evil with both of them. And if you'll say, well, look, he gave money to two widows, let him choose one. That's not going to work either. Hayol v'chaverta bei agida, since the other woman is bonded to him, havile boine shnei botim. That also would be a problem of building two houses, of having, we'll say, married two of them. Chalitza is also necessary, as we said, because the chalitza is designed to break the marital bond, the yibum bond, that is, and doing chalitza with one of them will release the other one, as is standard form when a man leaves a couple of wives. Chalitza is necessary only with one of them. We continue in the Mishnah. Maimer Bezu V'get Lezu. Shimon gives money to one of the widows and he gives a get to the other widow. What does Shimon have to do now? Tzricha get V'chalitza. The get will undo the money that he gave. He'll have to give her, the one to whom he gave the money, he'll give her the get, and he'll do chalitza with one of them. Maimer bezu uboal ezu. Let us say that Shimon gave money to one of the widows, and he had intimacy with the other one. Now, he shouldn't have done that. He shouldn't have had intimacy with the other one, because once he gave money to the first one, that locks her in, so to speak, and the second one would be forbidden. You can't marry two widows, and the money given to the first is a form of marriage on a rabbinic level, precluding the actual bia with the second one. So what does he do now? Tzricha shnei gitin v'chalitza. Only two divorce documents, one to break the money that he gave to the first, and the other to undo the intimacy that he had with the second, the chalitza, and chalitza with one of them to break the yibum bond that exists. We take a look at Rashi, a few lines down from here. Maimer lezu baal ezu, that's the case we just featured. Osur lekaimo. He cannot keep the second one, the one that he had intimacy with. The hoyel v'komaiso agidove, since the first one is bound to him through the money that he gave or the mimer that he did, havuluhu shnei botim. It becomes like two botim, the problem that we mentioned before. Utzricha shnei gitin, two divorce documents are necessary. Zu get l'mamoro, v'zu get l'bioso. One get is to undo the money bond, and the other get is to undo the intimacy bond. V'chalitza l'achas man u'poter sorasa. Avol get l'chudei lo nafka b'ilas bia, through the divorce document itself, that won't undo the bia. In other words, that won't make it such that chalitza is unnecessary. Hoyo the bia psula he. That was a weakened bia. It was an ineffective type bia. Therefore, the get is not enough to release her. She has to wait for chalitza to be done. It doesn't necessarily have to be done with her specifically, but chalitza is still necessary for her to be able to marry someone else. Number four. Maimer bezu v'cholatz lezu. Shimon gives money to one, and then he does chalitza with the other. Horishona tzricha get. the Mimer bond that was created is not undone by the Chalitza. So therefore, a get is necessary to undo that Mimer bond. Roman rule number two. We're continuing with the model of Reuven died leaving two wives, hence we have two widows. Reuven left no children, and Shimon is acting. Get Lizu, the get Lizu. Shimon gives a divorce document to both widows. Srichos, Hemenu, Chalitza. There's still the get does not undo the Doraisa of the Torah level Yibum Bond. Chalitza is still necessary. Get Lizu, Ubal Ezu. Shimon gives a divorce document to one of them, and he has intimacy with the other. And you can well imagine that after having started the distancing process, marriage in a Yibum context is no longer an option. And yet he had intimacy with the second one. Sricha, get v'chalitza. A get will be needed to undo the partial bonding that was accomplished through that illicit intimacy, and chalitza to break the doraisa yibum bond. Get lezu, maimer bezu. Shimon gives a divorce document to one of the widows, and he gives money to the other. Sricha get v'chalitza. Well, the get is needed to undo the bonding accomplished by the mimer, and chalitza is necessary to undo the doraisa yibum bond that still exists. Get lezu, v'cholatz lezu. Ein achar chalitza klum. After the chalitza is done, though it follows a get, but the get itself was the beginning of a distancing procedure. So the chalitza is able to function, and nothing else is necessary after that. Cholatz v'cholatz, if he did chalitza with one of the widows, that Shimon did chalitza with one of Reuven's widows, and then chalitza with the second one, or cholatz v'also maimer, or he did chalitza with one and then gave money to the other one, nosan get, or after chalitza with the first widow, he then gives a divorce document to the second one, uboal, or he has intimacy with the second widow after chalitza was done. We will eventually say that nothing takes hold after chalitza was in the first position. Oy boal, uboal, or Shimon had intimacy, a yibum intimacy with the first widow and then with the second one, oboav also mimer, or he had bia and then gave a get to the second one, or he had bia and then did chalitza with the second one. The Mishnah comments, skipping back to the case number three, ein achar chalitza klum. You'll notice Rashi on this point. Ein la'achar chalitza klum. Di'i hodar mekadesh lo letzorosa lo tafsi bo kiddushin k'rebi Akiva. Notice how Rashi's on top of things by pointing out that after chalitza's done, whatever he tries to do with the second woman, nothing will take effect, because after chalitza there is a negative prohibition to marry any of the surviving widows, any of the sisters-in-law. And since there's a negative command that's associated with that, nothing takes effect. And that is the opinion of Rabbi Akiva. We continue in the Mishnah. The Mishnah points out that which we've said till now is true, Bein Yavam Echad L'Shtei Yavamos, Bain Shnei Yivmin Yivama Achas. Up till now, we were illustrating the Mishnah with the first of these two cases of one surviving brother and two widows, but the same analysis would have been appropriate had there been two surviving brothers, Shimon and Levi, and one widow left by Reuven. Before we continue in the Mishnah, we want to glance at Rashi. You'll see Rashi on the second of the widest lines under the Gemara text. You might note that there's a star. I hope everyone sees where we are holding. Rashi says, we're reading this Rashi simply by way of introduction to the Mishnah. Cholatz v'osa maimer v'nosan geru boal. At this point, the Mishnah is going back to the case featured on Amud Aleph of one Yavam and one Yavama. The Apagav de Sanya Liel, even though this was taught before, Hodar Tanya Hocha, it's stated here again, Mishum Seifa, because of the end of the Mishnah, the latter part, the boy Lugi Bain Bia Lechalitza. Because the Mishnah has an agenda. It wants to make a distinction between rules that apply to a case where Bia is done versus where Chalitza is done. Ke dekotoni. And here Rashi quotes that, which we'll see later in the Mishnah. It says later in the Mishnah, Chalitza, bein betchila, bein bemsa, bein besof, ein achra klum, that once Chalitza is done, then nothing else will take effect afterwards. We can say the same thing regarding bia, but only when it's in the first position of actions. The Mishnah will also reveal to us a controversy between Rabbi Nechemya and the Rabbanan. So having read the Rashi, we turn now back to the Mishnah text. We're focusing at a point in the Mishnah where you see diamonds that appear. The diamonds highlight the words cholatz in a first position and boal in a first position. Cholatz, a yavam, did chalitza. Shimon did a participate shoe removal ceremony with Reuven's widow. And then after that, he gave her money, or he gave her a get, or he had intimacy with her. Oh, or another scenario. Shimon had intimacy with Reuven's widow as a first choice. Boal was his first action. He did bia. And then, and after the bia, he gave her money. He gave her a divorce document, or did the shoe removal ceremony. Notice we have diamonds. We noted 1 and 2, so now we have numbers that correspond to those numbers. Ein achar chalitza klum. Once chalitza is done, nothing will take effect after it. Bein b'tchila, bein b'emza, bein b'sof. Regardless of what position in actions the chalitza was done. Rashi elaborates on this. We look together at the Rashi on the fourth wide line under the Gemara text. Bein b'tchila bein b'emsa. Bein maimer leget. Kagoin. Example. Get lezu v'cholatz lezu. The Chazar v'Asa bo Maimer. Truth be told, in order to appreciate this, we would have to use as an illustration two Yavamos, even though Rashi mentioned on the second of the widest lines that the Mishnah was referring to a case of Yavam Echad and Yavama Achas. Here we're going to refer to a case of two Yavamas. So you have a Yavam doing as first stage, he gives a get to one of the widows, and then he does Chalitza with the second widow. The Chozar, the Osa, Bo, Mimer, and then he, the surviving brother, then Shimon, does Mimer, Oba Balas Haget, either Bo, meaning the one with whom he had given, done Mimer with. That is, again, let me correct, either with the one he did Chalitza with, or the one that he had given the get. Lo Mahani Mimer, the Mimer that he does in this, we'll say, third position, is of no effect, has no effect. Lo Baya Get Lamamoro, no get will be necessary. And why is that? Because preceding that Mimer was Chalitza. So whether Chalitza is done at the beginning, or Chalitza is in the middle, like we just illustrated, or Basof. Let's continue with Rashi. Achar Maimer V'get, after he gave money, and he gave a get, and then Cholatz, third position, he does Chalitza, that's what is Basof means. Ein Achrel Klum, nothing takes hold after that. V'chalitza Gemura Hi, it's a full-fledged Chalitza. The E Hodar Ovid Maimer, and if after that Chalitza would give money, Lo Baya Get. The Chalitza equals Gerishin Gemurin Hi. The Chalitza is a full break of the bond. The Koma, and now, what is their relationship? Belav Gomor Alei. The Koma Belav Gomor. Now their relationship is a negative command. The Afagav the Chalitza Psulavoy, even though it was a weakened type Chalitza, it was Chalitza that had been done at a point that Yibum could not have been done. We mentioned this in our shiur earlier today. When is something defined as a Chalitza Psula, as a weakened Chalitza? That's a Chalitza when Yibum is not an option anymore. Nevertheless, it is effective. And money given to her afterwards, especially in view of the fact that we're learning Lefi Rabbi Akiva, that in a case of an Isur Lav, nothing takes, so there's no Tfisas Kiddushin at when you're dealing with a Lav. We turn back to the Mishnah. We had read already Ein Achar Chatzukum, whether it appears B'tchilo B'amsa B'sof. Now, we're continuing where the last word on the line is V'habi'ila, with a little number 2 in parentheses. V'habi'ila B'zman Shehi B'tchilo Ein Achreo Klum. If the first act that the Yavam does with the Yavama is intimacy, then a second act. Let us imagine again the two Yavamas case. That's easier to illustrate, where you have Shimon did. Let's correct ourselves. You have two surviving brothers, and Shimon is the one that did Biah with the widow. If that's the first thing that was done, then whatever Levi does afterwards will have no significance. That's what the Mishnah means when Be'ila, when it's Betchila, Ein Achra Klum, when the first move that's made is an act of intimacy between one of the surviving brothers and the widow, then whatever the second brother does will have no effect. However, Be'emsa B'sof Yesh Acharel Klum. If the Bia is done in the middle, or at the end, then it's not a full-fledged bonding. Let's take a look at the Rashi. Habia Be'emsa Kigon. Get Lezu Ubo Lezu. Let us say that Shimon gave a divorce document to one of two widows, and then had intimacy with the other one. The Chozar also Maimer Bishlishis. And then he gives money to a third widow. Aser B'Krovosel. That Maimer has some effect. Enough so that the Shimon will not be able to marry any of her relatives. He won't be able to marry that third lady's sisters. Ubisof, what's the case of that? Get Lazu. Shimon gives a get to one of the widows, Umaymer Lazu, and then gives money to a second widow. The Chozar Ubo Al Ho'achas. And then he has intimacy with one of them. That intimacy does not create a full bond. Yesh Achar Biozu Zikas Yivmin. The Yibum connection still exists. It doesn't create a husband-wife full-fledged relationship. The Chimapik law by a Chalitza, below Saki law beget. In order to release her, since it's a Bia that took place after a get, the Bia was not enough to create a full-fledged bond whereby a get would be sufficient, and therefore Chalitza is still necessary. We now continue in the Mishnah. Rabbi Nechemya Oimer, Achas Be'ila V'Achas Chalitza. He equates the two. Bein Bechila, Bein Be'emsa, Bein Besof, Ein Acharea Klum. According to Rabbi Nechemya, when the Yavam does Bia, even if the Bia was preceded by one of the other things, nothing will take effect. Let's take a look at Rashi. Ein achreo klum, v'nafka beget. In order to release her, a get will be necessary, ubelo chalitza, without chalitza. V'hodar kodesh li'idoch achar bia, if he tries to, after having done bia, tries to marry the other widow, lo mahani. And now we continue with the Gemara itself. Ad kan lo pligi elo beget achar get umaymer achar maymer. We saw in the Mishnah a machlokis between Rav Gamliel and the Chachamim regarding a get that follows a get. Maymer that followed maymer. Avol get echod bivama umaymer echod bivama mahani. But the basic institutions of get done with the Yavama or money given to a Yavama, everyone acknowledges that that takes effect. We said takes effect on a rabbinic level. So a simple get to a Yavama or a simple act of maimer done with a Yavama, it has an effect. My timer Omer Rabbanan get bivama mahani. Why is it that the rabbis came up with this idea that a get with the Yavama has some effect? It has a distancing effect on a rabbinic level. Why? As far as the Torah is concerned, a get doesn't release the Yavama. Only the shoe removal ceremony will release her. We should point out structurally, we have triangles, and if you scan down the balance of this page, you'll see four of them. Sidra, and on the side under the Nosei Mivneh heading, we've noted these are a Sidra Shel She'elois, a series of questions, Shel Mai Taimo, why is it Al Hadinim Hakshum LeMishnah, regarding different halachas laws that were featured in the Mishnah. So we start off with the most basic. Why is it that the Rabbanan said that get given to a Yavama has some effect? Answer, Mishum de Mahani Ba'almo. Because in husband-wife relationships, a get is effective. So now, in our case, we're dealing with a Yavam Yavama. They haven't married one another, but there's a bond between them. In the case of the ultimate bond, the husband-wife bond, the get is effective. So we say, in this type of bond, the Yavam Yavama bond, the get also will be partially effective. De'i Amris Lo Mahani. Now we've used a double underline to highlight the expression, the Amris Lo Mahani, here and in the next case, simply to emphasize the balance and structure of the Gemara. If you're going to say that the get is not effective, summary, people will come out with some contorted ideas. People will figure as follows. Get lehotzia v'chalitza lehotzia. A get is something designed to separate, and chalitza is something designed to separate. To lehotzia means literally to remove her. Omi de get lo mahani. Upon people seeing that the get is not effective, if we were to say that, chalitza nami lo mahani, people will think that the Torah-ordained method of separation is also ineffective. And what will happen if people come to that conclusion? The asi lemival achar chalitza. And then that will lead people to think that you can engage in intimacy with her after the shoe removal ceremony was done. And that would be an isur d'oraisa, to have relations with the woman that you separated through the yavama, that you separated through chalitza. So that the, in anticipation of this, to protect, we'll say, the integrity of chalitza as a full-fledged separation, power was given by the rabbis to a get presented to a yavama. Umay taima omur rabbonon maimer b'yavama mahani. Why did the rabbis come up with the idea that giving money to the yavama would have an effect? And when we say have an effect, it means that the yavam will no longer be able to marry any of her relatives. Mishum d'mahani b'amo. The reason the rabbis assigned significance or power to money given to a yavama, even though that's not the Torah way of marrying a yavama, nevertheless the rabbi said it has a bonding effect, because it has bonding effect in general. When man meets woman and wants to marry the single woman as his wife, that's one of the methods of marrying her. As Rashi says, Mishum d'mahani ba'amo, Rashi, you can see in the middle of the wide lines, a little bit more than halfway down, Kiddushe isha koinem oisa, Kiddushe, that's Kiddushin given to a woman. The method of marrying a woman is by, one of the methods is by giving her money. V'osi l'mival achar bia, v'havi le'boinesh de botim, the isura d'oraisa. We continue now in the Gemara. De'i amris lo mahani, if you're going to say that money given to a yavama is ineffective, amri, people will say as follows, maimer liknos ubiyo liknos. We know that maimer is something designed to bond with, and biyo is a method of bonding. Umida maimer lo mahani, if we would take that approach, saying that the maimer is meaningless and you wouldn't need to give a get. So bio nami lo mahanya, and the bio done with the yavama is also not effective. For osi lemival achar bio, that could result in a yavam having relations with a co-wife, a co-widow, after he had relations with the first one, and having an under, and that would be an isur doraisa of the isur that we call shnei botim. Shnei botim is the prohibition of marrying two widows of the deceased brother. So that it's important for us to create the impression surrounding maimer, so as to protect the integrity of the strength of bia done with the yavama. That bia done with yavama is a full-fledged bonding, and people will then know that you've got to stay away from the co-wife. That is the deceased's co-wife. Umay taimom rabbonon bia psulo yesh achareha klum. We go immediately to the Rashi. Umay taimom rabbonon bia psulo yesh achareha klum. Yesh achareha zikas yivmin. that when a bi'ah is done, was, as we've seen before when we were learning the Mishnah, this is a case of bi'ah that is not in the first position. It's not number one in terms of actions between Yavam and Yavama. So it's a weakened bi'ah. We say that after that, things can still take hold. And as Rashi says, Yeshachar Zikas Yivmin, there still remains a Yibum bond. Optimally, when a Yavam does bi'ah in the first position with the Yavama, that obliterates, it erases any Yibum connection, and they simply become full husband, full-fledged husband-wife. But a bi'ah not done in the number one position, we say, Yeshachrel Zikas Yivin Kinsan Liel Maimer Vizu Bolazu. If a man did Maimer, Shimon gave money to one of the Yavamas and then had Bia with the second Yavama, Srichos Shnei Gitin Vichalitza, he will need to give two divorce documents and the Chalitza as well. Velo Amrinon, and we don't say Tiski Lebalas Bia Beget below chalitza, that it should be that enough would be giving a get to the one with him with whom he had intimacy, without any chalitza. V'tiftar av chaverta b'bi also mina chalitza, and that her that the co-wife would also be released through the bi'ah that he had done with the second woman, and that all of that we do not say. So the Gemara is asking right now, why is all that so? Why did the Rabbanan say that biopsula yesh acharel klum? And what are the cases of biopsula? So the Gemara continues to present the cases. Amri, this is the Gemara answers by citing two different possibilities of biopsula and showing why. Yesh achara klum, and as we saw in the Rashi, yesh achara klum means there still remains zikas yivmin. So the Gemara explains: e bio achar haget, if it's a bio psula, because it follows the giving of a get, so that Shimon, the surviving brother, gave a divorce document to one of the widows, and then he had intimacy with the second widow. If that's the bi'ah psula that we are referring to now, concerning which we say that chalitza will still be need to done, one will still need to do chalitza. Let's read that phrase again: e bi'ah achar haget ki. If that's the case. And you're saying that since the get was done in the first position and then bia was done with the second widow, it's not a full-fledged bia. And we say, as we said before, you will now, the giving of the get will not be sufficient, giving of a get to the one with whom you did the intimacy, but you'll also have to do chalitza. Gezeira bia achar get. We're making a imposing a rabbinic stringency concerning this case, mishum bia achar chalitza, out of fear of what people would conclude in a case where in the first you did chalitza with the first woman and then he does bia with the second woman, and that would be an isur doraisa, that would be forbidden on a Torah level. We take a look together at the Rashi. Gezeira, we're looking at the Rashi. It says, Gezeira bio achar haget, achar, mishum bio achar chalitza. In the Rashi, Gezeira bio achar haget, Mishum bio achar chalitza. We also have a little illustration on the side where you can see there is a yavam, and he gives a get to the first widow. She's Aleph. And that's the number one indicates that's the first thing he did. And then he did Bia with the second widow. The Halacha says that he has to give a get and Chalitza. In other words, the Bia, we must add that even though on a Doraisa level, that should have been a full-fledged bonding, because on a Doraisa level, the get that he did with the first Yivama is nothing. That should have been a full-fledged bonding, and a get would have been enough to break up that marriage. Nevertheless, the Rabbanan require Chalitza as well. And we say that, let's continue now with the Rashi, De'i Amris, if you were going to say Tiski Law Beget, that a get would be enough, Osi Lememar, people will say, Midekanya Bia Achar Aget, the Bia Greitzo, that just like Bia after a get is fully effective by the simple act of Bia, Alma Mal Yusuhi, oh, that's a fantastic, full-fledged marriage, Yibum marriage. Vasi lemival lechatchila achar chalitza. People will think that even after chalitza is done with one, a person could still do bia with the second, and that's an isur doraisa. Once chalitza is done, that breaks the yibum bond altogether, and the that woman as well as the co-wife, the other widow, are forbidden to the Yavam. So in our little diagram on the side, we mentioned that the need for Chalitza in the first scenario is a Gzeira Otu Bia Achar Chalitza, where first Chalitza is done with widow number one, and then if he were to think that he could do Bia with number two, that would be strictly forbidden. So that in order to emphasize the prohibition of Bia following Chalitza, we do that through showing the, we'll say, ineffectiveness of Bia following a get. And how do we show the ineffectiveness of that Bia? By requiring Chalitza as well. So that's one form of Bia Psula. We go back to the Gemara, and we go to the second squiggle underline. If the case of Bia Psula that we say Yesh Acharel Klum is a case of Bia Achar Maimer, that means he did Maimer with one of the widows and then he did Bia with the second widow. And once again, we say, Yesh Achar HaKlum, there still is a Zikas Yivmin, and there still is a need for Chalitza. Why? Gzeira Bia Achar Yemaimer, Mishom Bia Achar Bia. We have to show the relative weakness of the Bia following the Maimer, so as to make sure that people don't come to think that after you do Bia with one widow, you can then do Bia with the second widow. The Maimer, in our case, is what could give rise to people thinking that Bia in the first position could be followed by a second Bia with the second widow. And that, as we said, is an Isur Doraisa. The Isur Doraisa, of course, is the Isur of Shnei Batim. After you marry one, you can't marry the second one. In fact, that second wife would be an Isur Eishes Ach, which is an Isur Doraisa. We continue now in the Gemara. Umay taima omur rabbonon hai chalitza psula ein acharel klum. What's the case of, what do we mean by chalitza psula? It's chalitza that follows a get or follows maimer. And yet we say that following the chalitza, anything that I've done after that chalitza, if he, let us say, had done, given a get to one widow, and then did chalitza with a second widow, and then offered money to a third widow, or a get to the third widow. The action done with the third widow having followed Chalitza with the second widow, nothing would have taken effect. So the Gemara continues, Amri, my Ligzar, what Gezerah, what type, what would one have thought to impose in the case of Chalitza Psula? Nigzar Chalitza Achar Haget Mishum Chalitza Achar Chalitza? Should we impose the need for something else? We'll say after, let's say Chalitza, let's say Get was done with widow one, and then Chalitza was done with widow two, that what should we think? That we should impose some type of additional, if he then did something with widow number three, that it should take effect in anticipation of a case of Chalitza Achar Chalitza? We take a look at the Rashi. Ein acharei klum. Four lines from the bottom. The hodar ovid maimer oget l'shlishis lo mahani. If after having done chalitza with widow number two, he would give money or a get to woman number three, nothing would affect that woman number three. In other words, the yavam could marry her relatives. Mishum chalitza achar chalitza. Rashi continues. The lo lacy lemichlatz l'shtei yavamos zu. Achar zu, oy shnei yivmin livoma achas ze achar ze. So, are we supposed to say something about, let's say, the weakness of a chalitza following a get, because people might think that there's a problem in the case of a chalitza following a chalitza? Call. We continue in the Gemara text, three lines from the bottom. Kol ki hani tachlos v'tezel. If people are going to come to do additional chalitzas, let it be done. There's nothing. We don't care about that. We continue in the Gemara. Ligzar chalitza achar maimer mishum chalitza achar bia. Should we make a gzerah concerning a case where he does maimer with one and then chalitza with the second? That's the case of chalitza ha-maimer, where chalitza follows maimer in anticipation of chalitza after bia, if he had done bia with the first and then chalitza with the second. Otu chalitza achar maimer mi lo bayo get l'mamoro. Chalitza achar bia nami bayo get l'biyoso. If chalitza was done following maimer, is it not so that we require a get anyway for the maimer? So chalitza done after bia, it is true that we would require likewise a get following that a get to undo the bia. We take a look at the Rashi. Mishum chalitza achar bia, the lo lesi lemeimar, people should not come to think yavama knusa yoitzis bechalitza below get lo asi lemeimar hachi. People, if you think that we should make a gzera of chalitza achar maimer to say that it's insufficient after, in anticipation of a case of chalitza achar bia, so that people don't come to think that a yavama that's been married, she can go out with chalitza alone without a get. People aren't going to come to say that. Lo asu lemei marhochi. The otu chalitza chamaimar ni lo baya get lemamoro. Is it not so that anyway, in a case of chalitza that follows maimer, we require a get to undo the maimer? The ha di amrinon ein achrea klum. That which we say that after chalitza there is nothing. B'dovar ha'osui acharel ka'omar. That's a reference to things that are done after the chalitza. The other ovid, get, o maimer, o chalitza b'chaverta, lo mitzar b'krovosel. If one were to do something after the chalitza, give her a get, or give her money, or do chalitza with another one of the widows, that will not result in her relatives becoming prohibited. Before we conclude, let us remind you that if you wish to be in touch with us in order to access marked Gemaras, we can be reached at gmarkings@gmail.com. With that, we conclude our shiur for today.